When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
That's right. We're your artificial friends. I'm Andy Chanley. We got Larry Morgan standing right here.
That's me.
Just looking beautiful.
Oh,
and also sprightly and happy is Josh Fligger.
I don't know about sprightly, but happy definitely.
He should be happy. Won the goddamn fantasy football league. Wait, what?
Buried the lead.
Sam Farmer is on assignment.
Yeah.
At our old workplace, 100.3 The Sound, mm-hmm. We had some illegal gambling going on. We had a fantasy football league.
Which was fully sanctioned by the company.
And I'm
I think
sure.
They should probably be punished.
I'm sure of it. So we had a fantasy football league, right? One of those little Yahoo leagues, $20 in, and the winner. We had to set up the winner gets $200?
I think it was $150.
Second place gets $50. And then
there was a toilet bowl for the people that didn't make the playoffs. So we made the person with the worst record pay twice.
Yeah, they have to pay again. They have to pay $20 more at the end of it.
Damn, I've never heard.
So I think that's how we're, for first place you get 150, second place you get 50, and uh-huh. Third place gets that $20 from the last place person. So anyway, Josh needed 50 points going into Monday night. Monday's games.
Well, let's look.
Because
the playoffs started before the last time we got together. So we had no idea. It was all just, we didn't know who was playing who. And then both of our teams were terrible.
5-8 in the regular season.
Oh.
And we both
we were the seventh and eighth seeds.
And we played the first and second seeds and knocked them out.
Oh.
Yeah, we both had killer weeks. Actually, Josh calls me. He's like, hey, we're going to win these games. Or he texts me. I'm like, no way. Are you kidding me? We needed all these points. Oh, and the other players had like Tom Brady or whatever. It was the week they played Miami and just entirely shit the bed.
Yep.
And like 0 points from all the Patriots players. And so we actually hung on and won those games and then ended up facing each other in the championship.
Finals. Oh.
And
there's very few texts between us that week.
No. It looked like I was going
other than
to
eat a bag of
D's.
Shit in a hat was my favorite one.
Who was your superstar, Josh? Who came through?
Todd Gurley came in.
Oh, you had Gurley.
Yep. And the last 2 weeks. I think he had more points last week, too. He had like 50-some points. And then this week he had 44. And that brought down my team name, the Turds of Misery.
Yeah, the Turds of Misery beat auto pick your butt.
Yeah. we should mention our cohort, Sam Farmer, who wrote a great piece about Mr. Gurley in the Times mm-hmm. after the games last weekend. And he tweeted about it, and he's just making the case for his MVP-dom, if that comes to pass. But the headline of the story was Girl Power, G-U-R-L Power, which I thought was both ridiculous and... I mean, it caught my eye, but it was like, oh, really?
I'll bet you $100 he did not write.
Yeah.
Because goes to a copy desk.
I know.
And someone decides, oh, we need a 140-point font for this.
Did you guys see the picture I texted you? I think it was either Christmas Eve or the day. I can't remember. There was a special on the NFL Network about John Stallworth and Lynn Swann, and I TiVo'd it. And I go to watch it. You know how sometimes those things start like a minute early, so you catch the last minute of the previous show?
Yeah.
I turn it on. Very first thing I hear is this voice. And I'm like, I know that guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I go to my wife, I'm like, I think that's Sam Farmer. And then they cut, and there he is, Sam Farmer on the NFL Network on my screen talking about how, I think he was talking about the AFL and NFL merger and how it was like.
He's a good-looking man.
Yeah. He looks good on camera.
Charming guy right
there. And same thing, last week I'm listening to Petros and Money, and Money is talking about hanging out with Sam Farmer. Yeah. It's like Sam's everywhere.
Yeah.
So he's clearly like big time in this today.
Yeah, exactly.
Sam, after the Rams beat the Seahawks, 45-7 or whatever it was, he sends me, this is from, I think this is the Lewiston Tribune. I don't know where this is.
Wow.
Where's Lewiston?
Lewiston,
is that Seattle?
Maryland? Oh, is that a Washington one?
I don't know. Anyway, the headline, Seahawks get rammed hard. And he said, his caption was, "This is what I call a single entendre." But yeah, so
I miss Sam.
That fantasy season is over. Congratulations,
thank
Josh.
Thank you.
Nice going.
I'm going to enjoy all $150.
I am both very happy for you and extremely happy that you've got Andy so upset. That just is.
That, it's, the like, cash is nothing. That's just like, you know, whatever.
Here's what you did.
It's the spirit of competitiveness.
You angered the fantasy god. Because he texts me, "Oh, there's no way I can win with this. I'm so far behind. I don't stand a chance." That angers the fantasy gods, usually. The football gods frown upon that.
Yeah.
But he sends me that text. I'm like, shut up. You've got 50 points, and you've got the entire Steelers offense and defense yet to go. I don't want to hear about it. And he comes back and wins easy in beast mode on top of that. So, yeah. And I texted him back very eloquently, I think, after he won, that he can eat a bag of dicks.
Yeah. I got that. I remember that.
Well, it's good to see.
That was Christmas Day, actually.
Oh, really?
I got the old eat a bag of dicks.
And then the next day, I underscored that with go shit in a hat.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing to hear that you've let it go. You're not hanging on too long.
Shut up, Larry.
It couldn't have happened to a better guy.
And then I ended up losing in my other league as well. I'm in the vindication pool. Right now, there's one more game to go where if you win this, it goes 1 week past the championship, you end up vindicated.
How?
Huh?
Is it just a consolation?
I think you get patted back and say you're 50, not that bad.
You get 50 bucks or
consolation game kind of thing?
Yeah.
No.
But, oh my God. You know, fantasy season done almost. It's that's a 5 month campaign. Yeah. Plus the prep that you might do during the summer to, you know, figure things out. And that was the thing that when
summer prep for fantasy football.
I just want to.
Who does that?
I just want to.
What do you do? You have your own little combine. No,
but I will read.
Putting the stats through the ringer. Yeah,
I think
we need to lean more into wide receivers this
year. There's a news aggregator on a website where I could just, you know, it'll give you every little thing. So each day throughout the summer, there are like 40 or 50 news bites, and you just so and so got hurt. Okay, oh, they got traded to wherever, and just make a mental note of it. And if at any point during the summer,
40 to 50 news articles every day.
I don't read that many. No, I said 40 or 50.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'll just skim it, and I'll miss it for weeks, but then go back and just read whatever's popped up, and you find out, you know, so-and-so, quarterback's coach says so-and-so's really coming on and having chemistry with them. You know, I might make a little note of that, just type their name on a little note in my iPhone, and then at the end of the summer when it's time to draft, I go back and I look, and if there's, like, someone that I've mentioned 2 or 3 times, then I might take a flyer on that person in the draft because they've been talked about. There was chatter about them during the season. Josh,
how's it
you don't understand.
You know what I do? I go grab the magazine the day before the draft.
All right.
Just read through that.
I want to make a point. We're almost 9 minutes into this, and this is the only thing we've been talking about. Our post-Christmas wrap-up.
Fantasy football, real football.
The end of fantasy football.
And Larry's eyes have been glazing over for a few minutes.
I know.
Larry, how were your holidays?
Yeah.
Is that what you're getting at? Should we ask you about your holidays? How are your holidays?
It's funny you say that because it seems like this is a time of endings. It can be very melancholy. You're clearly saddened and aggravated by your monstrous defeat in fantasy football. And plus the season's over. And it's a full 6 months before you start making notes on your iPhone. What are you going to do in that time?
I'll spend some time with my family. They'll actually see me on a Sunday.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Laura loves this time of year because it means we get Daddy back.
Does she really, though?
Well, because Daddy can watch the kids while she goes off and does things.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So my holidays were fine. I am very melancholy around this time of year because of the whole come and go factor. It's like I'm working so hard leading up to Christmas that I feel like I've already had Christmas. You know, when you work in radio, none of us have ever really gotten to take time off. You're usually doing something ahead of time to make sure that the time off that you take is covered.
Right.
I mean, shifts,
well, and you're in a management
covered.
Position.
Yeah, and
such as it is. Yeah,
he made air quotes.
So you can't, you can't just leave. You've got to make sure that every shift is covered.
Yeah, there's music logs, and people have to fill in, and so there's for a lot of people. In a lot of workplaces, I think people are doing double the work just to be able to take time off these days.
Well, especially in radio, too. If you're just starting out in radio, if you want to get a career going in radio, and if I can possibly dissuade you from trying that,
yeah,
let me do that.
That's the first tip.
The biggest favor you can do yourself is go to your boss, go to the program director, and say, I'm available all the holidays. I'll work over.
You just brought back one of the most terrible things I had to do at the Sound was schedule Christmas holiday.
Yeah.
And it's fluid. Nobody ever says what you ask months ahead of time. What are you doing for Christmas? Oh, I'm going to be here. And then 2 days before Christmas, you're like, oh no, I'm going somewhere else. And you're like, I've got three people to work like eight shifts.
And counterpoint to that, Andy, would be if you are a part-time or hourly employee somewhere, and then you tell somebody, nah, I'm not going to be around for the holidays. It's probably not an actual black mark on your record, but there is a mental note of going, right. Oh, okay, they're not really stepping up here. Because you're right. If somebody says, I'm here for the entire 2 weeks, I'll work any shift you want, you are golden.
Right.
I did that in early in my career. Partly, I was working at Kiss FM here in town. I was a baby DJ. And, working just on weekends for the most part, a little fill-in at night. And I was like right up front. I was like, put me in any shift, any time. And I was working almost every day over the holidays.
Yeah.
Although I did have a sad Christmas night when I get home watching It's a Wonderful Life by myself. I literally went into the nearby Safeway and got the Hungry Man turkey and stuffing dinner and was dog-sitting my roommate, Pete Siegel's dog, Roxanne, and we sat there, and I'm crying at the end of It's a Wonderful Life, and the dog puts its little paw in my lap, and it was the most pathetic I've ever been in my entire life.
That's the low spot.
It really was.
Clarence the Angel... get a good look at your subject. It's Larry Morgan. I like that face. I think I'd like a flaming rum punch.
And then I got really drunk.
Then I went out drinking.
Yeah.
Josh was asking me on the way up here. He said, hey, have you even started looking for a radio job? I wonder in the back of my mind, and my answer was no. I wonder in the back of my mind if I was thinking, no, if I go work anywhere, I'll have to work over the holiday. Let's wait until the first of the year comes around.
Yeah.
It's true. If this is with anything,
I think last...
any line of work, if you apply yourself and you go in and say, I am totally available, and this is something that millennials don't possess by and large, is that I'm going to pay my dues and really, because you've been in radio for 67 years, right, Larry?
Yeah, six or seven, exactly.
That's where you start out, is you're indispensable.
Yeah, and I think that's always been my natural inclination, is just to be there to go, yeah, I'll do that. I think that's just me. And even now, as long as I've been doing it, my role still is plugging in for the morning show when they take a couple of weeks off, because I'm qualified to do that.
Right.
You may not remember this, but I actually did do mornings where you were.
I have not forgotten.
Oh, okay.
No one has forgotten.
It was, many consider that a 4.5 year fill-in gig. But yes, but you're right. You be indispensable. And that means, especially at an early age, sacrifice a little of your family time, get it back later when you have more experience. But the shorter answer to your original question is I had a lovely holiday weekend.
But you did head, you left, or you were here the entire time?
I was with my family at our cottage up along the Central Coast. It was lovely. It was cold. The sun is in town from New York. We played board games. We've become that family.
Nice.
We're adorable.
What board games?
He surprised us. Our gift from Alex, now that we've started doing this as kind of a tradition when he's around, We started with a card game called Jaipur, which is a two-player game where it's like you trade goods in a marketplace in some exotic locale. And then we got a very popular one called Ticket to Ride, which is a build a choo-choo track game in European countries, and now they've got expansions in other countries.
It's not about prostitutes. Good.
Nope, not at all. Well, could be. So Alex brought us a couple of cooperative games because we realized we have more fun when we're not cutthroat and trying to beat each other because that causes some tension. For one, Alex, as a child of games in general, I mean, you can say all you want about video games, you know, shooter stuff or whatever, but Alex has a meticulous mind for problem solving. Mm. So he's really analytical. He's really good at it. So even in these board games, so he brought us one that was cooperative called Forbidden Island, where you're trying to escape an island before it sinks by gathering precious, you know, stones and artifacts and stuff. And the other one is called, I want to say Harambe. That is not it. That's the gorilla that was shot at the zoo. Right. I believe it's called.
you cooperate in killing a gorilla.
Yeah.
Who hides the body?
If the gorilla dies, everybody loses. Hanabe. It's a card. It's another card game. Here's what's interesting about this. It is the first time I've ever played a card game where you don't get to look at your own cards. The other players get to see your cards, you get to see theirs, and you get to give them hints.
Indian poker?
it's kind of...
Hold the card up on your forehead?
Yep. lick the back of the card and smack it on your forehead.
But it just goes to show you how many habits that you have about certain things where, you know, somebody deals them out, you pick them up and you look straight. I don't know how many times we had to re-deal just because...
What's more enjoyable, winning, defeating your family, or... playing together and winning the scenario?
That second one we haven't experienced yet.
Okay, you got it.
We've lost every game we've played. it's more fun actually to play the cooperative games because, one, Alex would win every time if we played against each other. But that really makes it fun, actually. There are a lot of cooperative games out there, and you all get to kind of contribute and play different characters and stuff.
Yeah,
so anyway, we become the nerd board game fan.
We played a couple games at the Flieger House that caused some tears this week.
It happened.
Mousetrap.
So, whose tears?
Was Owen's. Owen lost it over Mousetrap, and then I lost it yesterday when we played Doggy Do.
That's a game.
It's an actual game where you put a little piece of food in the dog's mouth, and then you just spin the wheel and you pump it full in air, and then it shoots a piece of poop out its butt. and if you pull the pump and shoot the poop out the butt, you get a little fart chip. And if you get three fart chips, you win.
Nice.
So my wife won, which I'm still, that Doggy Do game is still under protest, by the way.
You went to the commissioner.
It was a dangler at the end there. It wasn't fully out. And then the rules said you could tap the butt, and if it fell out, it counts. I know. If it's not out, it's not out.
That's the modern equivalent of the hanging Chad.
Games have changed. Well, by the way, I got some advice for Owen right now, especially with Mousetrap, because that's a complicated game. There's a lot of pieces involved in that.
He loves it. But here's the problem with Mousetrap is I'm the only one that knows how to reset the stupid trap every time. Mm-hmm. And he likes to take his mouse piece and clawed hop across the board. So he's like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then there goes the Mousetrap. And I'm like, hold on, stop. I got to reset this stupid thing. And it goes off like 15 times a game.
Yeah.
And
my advice for Owen, sometime around like June, July, have him Google Mousetrap, and there's going to be like 40 or 50 stories that come up. Have him take notes on his iPhone, and by the time the season rolls around.
You don't shut up.
How about your holidays?
I don't like you anymore.
Is there a Mousetrap aggregator somewhere?
My holiday was lovely. It was fantastic. We basically do a repeat of the Thanksgiving meal at Christmas.
Yeah.
We added an apple pie that was, and you can ask Laura independently of me, it's one of the best pies I've ever had. We collaborated
on it. But you made it in-house.
Made it home, I made the crust, the butter crust. Oh. She made the filling. And I put the top on, and it was just phenomenal. And there's still some of it, so I can't wait to have some of it after my colonoscopy.
But stay tuned, folks. That's a tease.
So was the hanging thing out of your dog's butt.
You know what? We should do footage, like a live stream of Andy's colonoscopy, but just show the game.
Yeah. Or we could just do the audio from his colonoscopy and then show us playing Doggy Do.
For the colonoscopy episode, can I get a photo on your phone of the hanging poop out
the hanging Chad?
Yeah.
That'll be the icon.
But we, we got, Laura and I each got each other a couple of things. And... And I, we got, Santa brought some things for the kids. One of the things that Santa brought, the big thing for Viv, who's going to be 3 in a couple weeks, was a fridge, a play fridge.
Ooh.
That dispenses little ice cubes, little wooden ice cubes. She loves this fridge. She's crazy over it. And Silas got... something that actually his teacher suggested, checkerboard chessboard.
Oh, oh. Nice.
Yeah, his teacher said, we were just talking to him at a parent-teacher conference, and she said, he's really, really smart, and have you thought about, he just likes to solve problems. Have you thought about introducing him to chess? And I said, that's a great idea, and I hadn't yet. and I haven't played chess in, 20 years. But we got him this chess set and got it out. And I said, what do you want to do? Do you want to learn how to play chess or do you want to play checkers? And he said, checkers. I said, okay, it's a little simpler. So I showed him the rules to checkers. He had a triple jump on me by the third game.
Smoked you.
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't win. I killed him. Show absolutely no mercy. No. I think we've already gone over how competitive I am.
Defeat does not exist in this dojo, does it?
Well, this is an interesting thing, and we should talk about this at some point, maybe now. But whether you should let your kids win at something like that.
Yeah.
If they're 2 or 3 and get easily frustrated, and you're playing Go Fish, then I think yes. But I think when you're trying to teach them the rules of a complex game like that, where it's about strategy, that I kind of think that, okay, if they make a boneheaded move, I'll stop them and I'll say, no, you don't want to do that because of this or whatever. That ends the game. You have 3 pieces you can move without putting them in peril, that kind of thing.
Right.
Showing them what they are and letting him make a decision. That kind of stuff. Because I think then one day when he does beat me, it's going to be much more meaningful. But, giving him things that he can do to stay competitive will keep him interested.
Right, yeah. But you also, that's a fine balance because you don't want him to get disinterested.
That's what I'm saying.
Like I looked at it that way as when I was a kid and I learned to play guitar, the very first guitar I got was a piece of crap.
Right.
So it was like...
So hard to play.
Yeah, it was so hard to play, and it never stayed in
tune.
And I just think, that's the way every guitar is going to be. This is stupid.
Right.
But then I finally get my hands on a quality instrument, and I'm like,
easier.
You kind of got to give them a little bit of a ray of hope to be like, this is what victory tastes
right.
like.
Right.
Yeah, that's a real fine line. It's funny now because, Alex is grown up.
What did you do?
I'm trying to remember. I think it was a case-by-case situation where – definitely when they're really young, because I'm seeing all these videos now. It's funny. I just saw a viral video the other day of something that was basically what we're talking about. And one kid was just so frustrated that he was losing this game in a little family game that it was like violent to the point of like he wanted to flip everything over and just tear it apart. And it's like, wow, you got to know that your kid has that capacity.
Right.
But also at a certain age, they really probably should know that they don't get to win every time.
You don't get entitled to a certificate.
Well, you got to teach defeat. You got to teach to cope with, this is life. You're not going to win every situation.
Yeah, you never want a kid to give up. Yeah.
Yeah, Viv's looking down the barrel of 3 years old.
Yeah.
So, you get easily frustrated in a short attention span.
Right.
She'll win every time and whatever. Uh-huh. But Silas is now, moving up to 7.5 and getting to the point where I want him to learn how to problem solve, and in games like chess and checkers, think a few plays ahead,
yeah.
So that everything isn't just a gimme. Yeah, so it's a fine line.
I think
I'm not
the early age thing is if the game needs to be something that is mostly about luck, which that way the skill set that they have to use is fairly limited. Like, yeah. Oh, if I have a choice between moving here and here,
right.
What's the end result? But for the most part, it's just luck of the draw.
Exactly.
And that means things could potentially go either way and it evens out. If your kid is severely frustrated every time they lose, you may have bigger problems.
Yeah, you find a different game.
yeah.
But, there is a point at which you got to, you do have to decide as a parent what is going to be damaging to the kid.
You know what I do is I'll just like I'll let the game play out, play fair. You know what I mean? No cheating. And if I win, we'll play again. And if I win, we'll play again until he can win. I'm not saying I manipulate the game for him to win,
right?
But at least if he gets one victory in there, even if I win like five. You know, he'll be like, okay, at least he has that sense where I won. I know what it's like to play right. And
right.
That's what I kind of
do. Well, there's another school of thought that says you play the game. Okay, I'll play the game with no rooks and no knights and no bishops. and you beat me. And then, okay, I'm going to add in the bishops.
Yeah. Oh,
and then,
yeah.
You know, and then when you can beat me, I'll add in that kind of thing. You can also do that. And that may be something I try.
Owen's never beat me at Connect Four. I went on a 20-game win streak. He won't. He has all the games out. That one never sees the light of day. Now he's like, "Well, I'm going to play Connect Four." He's like, "Nah, that's all right. I'll go in the other room."
That's the thing with him. And I'll gauge it and see how it goes as time goes on. But one of my I actually used to not love or enjoy, but appreciate losing. Like at chess, because every time I lost, I learned something.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I taught him how each of the different pieces move, and we played a game, and I checkmated him. And in doing that, I slid the queen all the way to his back row where his, you know, queen or his king was trapped back there, and there was no escape. And I said, so here, see, this is why you want to keep people from getting too close or getting in your back row, doing what you can to prevent that, because then you're much more so you learn something even in losing this.
Yeah.
But the thing that I wanted to say about it more than that was I had that moment that I think you appreciate more than any of us, Larry, of sitting at the kitchen table, dining room table, with cool weather outside and the leaves on the ground and Christmas music playing. And I'm sitting there across the table from my boy playing a board game and just thinking about, God, I hope I'm doing this 20 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And 30 years from now. And I hope this is something that we have year after year after year.
When I was like
playing doggy do with your 30-year-old son.
When I was like 17 or 18, I had I knew how to play chess, my whole life, but I never had anybody to play with it. And I just kind of got back into it when I was around 17, 18 years old, and I bought one of those little chess machines that you could play against. Mm-hmm. And I started to get like really good, and I was like, that's all I did is for like a summer is just play chess. And I bought a board, and I remember I was sitting at home one time, and my dad was sitting there, and I'm like, hey, old man, you want to play some chess? And he's like, sure. I'm like, kick this guy's ass. So we were both laying down in the middle of the living room floor. He beat me in about six moves. I smashed that board off the wall. And he laughed so hard. We haven't played a game since then. I was this cocky, like, 18-year-old, like, this guy hasn't played chess in years. And he just, it was maybe 8 minutes into the game. It was done. I could just look. I'm like, I'm going to lose in three moves. And he's like, yes, you are. Just like, yeah, never again.
So some traditions don't last, Andy, I guess.
I love it.
But,
I look forward to that.
The great thing is that you established this. This is one of those things I think that will stick with. I mean, there are some things I think we all do around the holidays that we would normally never do any other time of year. And part of it is because there is this just kind of real comfort in that kind of tradition.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we've done something we've talked about doing forever. There are basically three of us in our little family unit, and we have kind of reclaimed Christmas for us. We have extended family, but mine are in Texas. partly due to the job situation I just described to you, it's hard for me to travel any great length without having to turn around and come right back.
Right.
You know, Charlotte's family's kind of spread out, and they do their thing. And finally, just the last 2 years, it's just been the three of us. And I can't tell you how glorious that is.
Yeah.
It's something we've all three said, can we get past this idea of obligation for other people? As long as we're not hurting other people's feelings, can we just be us? And a part of it is that just that's the way we are. We don't need to have a big party. We don't need to be around 50 other people. We're really happy because we don't get to spend that much time together as it is.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it's just it's been so bonding. I feel like we started kind of a new thing. And of course, if Alex, you know, goes on and gets married and has kids, you know, that changes the dynamic a little bit. But there is a period of time right now, it's like, we love this. Yeah. It's what it's supposed to be,
yeah,
I thought.
But even when that happens, it's going to, you know, unless you absolutely hate the person that he chooses to wed, that person's still going to be in that circle.
Hopefully,
you know? Yeah. And
I would like that.
If they have kids, that's going to be... You know, your heart gets bigger.
Yeah.
You don't think it can't. It's like when you have, you know, a second kid. It's like, I don't, you know, we didn't know if we could like our a human child more than we could like our cats. And then we had Silas and like, oh, you know, we never took a picture of our cats again.
Exactly.
And then you have another child and your heart, you make room for
it.
Yeah. And,
no, I agree. I think actually establishing this now means we look forward to sharing it with as things grow a little bit.
Last year, when I was still gainfully employed with no obvious end to it on the horizon, we took a expensive trip to Europe. Wanted to show the kids, you know, other cultures. So
nice. We
go to Netherlands and England. Went to Amsterdam and London, and they're in. The Netherlands, they have a term. Is it? I think it's higa, and I forget how you spell it exactly. But the meaning of it is that warm, cozy family stuff that you do that bonds you all together and makes you appreciate what you have. In the simplicity of togetherness, and so anytime you get to sit down and play a board game, anytime you you know, it's cold outside and you put on music and make tomato soup and grilled cheese and you know, anything like that is that higga. It's
you're
that feeling. You're higging.
Okay.
And it's that feeling of you know, familial love.
Love that.
And that's a neat thing to, and that's what, you know, the holidays are to me. It's I'm no longer religious, so that. But it's so weird how I'll listen to, you know, O Holy Night, and because of the dogma that was, you know, things that were indoctrinated, it still moves me. And it's, I guess it's, you know, the minor chords and the construction of the music, but it still moves me, and I feel something in there. Some people call it the
not,
Holy
I don't know
Spirit.
If everybody looks at Christmas the same way.
Oh, definitely not.
I'm sitting there, Christmas Day. This is true. This happened this year. I still can't believe it. I had to ask my wife yesterday if this really happened. Okay, so, you know, it's Christmas. Everybody just stays in their pajamas all day. Well, we don't do the – I made Christmas dinner, and like Thanksgiving, it was just us. So it's real dinner to us. So we eat like at 5, 6 o'clock. We don't wait. We don't eat at like 1 and then eat again. So I'm making the dinner, and all of a sudden I hear this little girl and a bell noise, and I look over, and on our front step is this lady with her daughter and her husband, and I'm just standing there looking at them, and she rings the doorbell, and I walk over, and I'm like, can I help you? And she goes, we're going to have an HOA meeting by the pool. And I go, today? And she goes, yeah, in an hour. And I go, it's Christmas. And she's like, uh-huh. And I'm like, no. Who has an HOA decides on Christmas at 3 p.m. that they're going to have an HOA meeting by the pool? I like stopped and stared at my wife, and I'm like, did this just happen? Did I just have to tell somebody that I would not attend an HOA meeting at the pool on Christmas Day? And she's like, okay, see you, and just walked away.
Wow. I mean, I know
that's okay.
I know there are people who don't technically celebrate it. But like you said, Andy, it's not even about religion. It is clearly about religion for so many people. But there are a number of Jewish people in my life who love that holiday.
Oh, yeah.
And have their tradition.
And I think, like, how many businesses are closed, lady? What is the sign that this is not an okay time to have an HOA meeting?
I don't think the word meeting comes into play at all on Christmas Day.
Email me the notes. I'm good.
It would be like the angel comes down to the three wise men and or to the shepherd in the field and says, "So there's going to be a meeting in the manger. All right, you got to follow the star. Okay, just technically, there's no set time.
That
just
really happened.
It's a come and go meeting.
What's interesting is on Christmas Eve, which was Sunday, a Sunday, Christmas Eve, I have been, ever since I moved into my neighborhood, I've been trying to make it a nicer place. So a couple years ago.
The neighborhood?
Yes.
Not really.
A couple years ago, because cars were going too fast down. It's a side street that you can avoid a major intersection, and people are just barreling down there. So I got a stop sign put at the end of my block. Through my community activism, I contacted my
local
councilman, and got a stop sign put.
You
in
can
four-way
make
stop.
Change.
I
happen.
Can. So progress. They still weren't slowing down.
It takes a village.
So
Andy.
I wanted to put in humps in the street, and I contacted my councilman, and they said, "Sorry, we're not doing that." They say it slows down response times for first responders and that sort of thing. Well, they reversed course on that a few months ago and said, okay, we're going to allow a limited few. And you have to go jump through all kinds of hoops, do a submit a thing, and then...
Do they have to do a study or anything?
Yeah, they do a study, and then you submit signatures and so forth. Mm-hmm. Well, they got back, they said, oh, your block's too small, you could expand it. Well, then I emailed back, please do expand my application. They finally answered a week ago, said, okay, yeah, but you have just until the end of the year to get your signatures in. So I'm like, oh, okay, I should do this. I figured that on Christmas Eve, on Sunday,
you're that guy.
Lots of people would be home, and they were,
and they're gonna have no problem listening to you rant on about these kids driving so fast.
It was actually Laura's idea to do it. People would be home, you know. I'm like, okay, so we put the kids in a wagon and went up and down our block, and I got my signature. So
oh,
I feel
wow.
like I
so
did
you've
something.
Created a new tradition. Hey kids, come on, it's time to go out and get the signatures for the new petition.
Get in the wagon. It's higga time.
Well, give me some of that higga.
Be
that
really
sweet
careful.
Chanley higga.
Be really careful how you say that.
I'm thinking of four or five jokes right now, and I'm just going to leave on the cutting room floor.
Might want to check on both the pronunciation and maybe a different language on that one. That's wow. So do you think you're going to get the humps?
I hope so. My lovely lady humps.
And by the way, we're not talking about the colonoscopy yet.
That's next episode. I'm certainly hopeful that we will. Quickly, let's round this out with a look towards the new year. Do you have resolutions for the new year? Do you do that? What's your mindset for entering a new year and changing over the calendar?
I stopped doing resolutions per se. Although I did create for myself a let's accomplish this kind of list, in fact.
More goals oriented?
It's something attainable and specific. So that in my mind, there are like six things that I've been thinking about doing, and if I can get them done like in the first quarter of the year, the momentum for those to get, I mean, they're things that will hopefully start the ball rolling for other things that can last throughout the rest of the year. So I've been trying to make them very concrete and more specific. I mean, I know a lot of people do the, you know, get in better health and join a gym and all that stuff, and those things you can give up on very easily. So I just kind of nailed it down to starting with, like, this weekend while I have some downtime. There are a couple of letters I want to write. There are a couple of I want to get a stop sign put at the end of my street. I just added that today.
Little higga.
So I've gotten it to be, and I think that's actually more, it just feels like you accomplish more because there are so many things you can give up on so easily when they're these kind of big picture things. Not that I poo-poo anybody who makes resolutions. But it's a good, to me, it's just a good time of year to, there is a starting point. It does feel like a fresh start. It's like, okay, these are things I've been thinking about all year. Let's put into action what we're going
to
do.
To jump on your starting point thing, I don't really have a, like, a resolution because I'm not a quitter. but I got a job that starts on January 2nd, and that's kind of my starting the new year, new job, moving forward, putting some things behind me and starting that way. So that's kind of what
that's
my
fantastic.
Thing is.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what about you?
I don't have either of those things.
Yeah. Really?
Well, you got some bumps coming.
I do have some some humps.
Are they going to be bumps or humps
in
your neighborhood?
Yeah, there is a difference. I prefer a hump.
I noticed
all matters with depth perception.
Yeah, I noticed in different neighborhoods they have labeled them differently.
Really?
Well, and the humps are actually they're a bit more amusing because you can actually speed up to go over them because they're the little like jumps. The bumps are the ones where shock
they really
the crap out of your car.
Yeah. Rattle your chassis.
Well, exactly. Then I hope they're bumps.
Yeah, you want bumps. You don't want humps. Humps can be amusing.
All right. Well, here's something you should know in case this happens within the new year, because this has happened on good old Wells Drive back in Woodland Hills when we were there. Same situation. Wells parallels Ventura Boulevard. People would use that as an alternate thoroughfare, go blowing by there well past what the speed limit is, as well as right through stop signs if they think I got a clear thing. They were bumps that were put in along Wells Drive. We didn't even have to ask people. It was clear that that was a traffic hazard.
Right.
So the a-holes who suddenly the next week had to drive over those decided he would let the neighborhood know his displeasure by honking at 5 a.m. every time he had to, or 2 a.m. or whatever, every time he had to drive over in any of them. So slow down, crawl over, honk, you know, a few feet, honk. Did that for weeks.
Nice.
So
I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Laura and I started about 8 or 9 years ago with a word or a mantra for the new year. 8 years ago, it was family, because we were hoping to have a child. And we had been trying for a little while, and sure enough, we picked that word, and 8-9 days later, we find out that Silas is on the way. So it has worked in the past. And so, you know, we'll pick a different word, and whether that word is... I think home was the word the year that we, you know, bought our house. And you know, just something to engineer your year around and get things started and have focus to achieve something. It was funny. I was asking the woman who cuts my hair about this the other day. And she's an actress. And she said, I do a vision board.
Oof.
I'm like, wow, you really mean it?
That's because, commitment.
Yeah, it's like, you know, The Secret. I'll put something on there, and you know, you only get what you feel you.
Mine would just be like bacon, steak.
Yeah. I bet you'd achieve that.
Yeah, I can make that happen.
But she said, you know, you only end up getting what you feel you deserve, and so whatever, you know, it's weird how I wanted to do some acting, but I didn't want to do a lot of auditioning for it. I just kind of wanted something to come to me. And sure enough, somebody said, hey, you'd be good for this whatever commercial role. I go and I audition for it. And I wrote down that I wanted to make $7,000 for it. Because I asked one of my clients who was an actor, you know, what did you get for this or that? What's a number for a... And he said, well, I had a non-speaking background part on a Friends episode, and it ended up being $7,000. And she goes, so she wrote down $7,000. When she finished this thing and got her residual checks, it ended up being like $6,995.
Oh, wow.
And so I laughed at her. Oh, I missed it. But she chose another thing. You know, again, I don't like the auditioning and the rejection in Hollywood. So it'd be great if one of my friends just did something and put me in it. And, like a short film and... ended up winning a prize at a festival and got like $1,000. She had a client say, hey, I'm looking for stuff to direct for a reel. Do you have anything? Yeah, actually, I have something. They did it. It goes to a festival. She wins best actress in the festival and ends up with a $1,000 prize.
Wow.
So she was acting specifically about it. So I have decided to ask for lottery winnings in the amount of $22.8 million. $22.8. Well, I'm very specific. Uh-huh. That's what I think I deserve.
Right. Well, you need to put that up on your little dream board.
I'm going to put it on my vision board.
Okay,
vision
board. Devil's advocate, you don't think you're overshooting the goal?
Shut
little,
up oh, again,
okay,
Larry.
All right, I'm sorry.
$22.8 million.
Greedy.
Specific.
What
goal.
I feel I deserve. That's what I feel you deserve.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey.
So you're going to share with us when you win? Oh, okay. I misinterpreted
that. I'll take
that.
But, 0.8. That's all I need.
Maybe we could get together and have some hygge.
I'm down.
Andy's spreading hygge throughout the land.
What a wonderful year I've had so far with you guys. Larry and Josh and Sam, who's, like we said, on assignment. Great to start this little venture and get to know each other a little bit. Certainly have enjoyed doing this. Didn't know what I was doing to start off with. Some will argue, still haven't figured it out.
No.
But it's been
I'm one of those.
It's been a lot of fun, and I'm thankful for knowing the three of yous going into this new year. So happy new year!
Yeah,
happy
I'm
year.
So glad that despite the circumstances from which it arose, it has rekindled a relationship that I have had with you guys. I really like you guys, and the end result is that part of one of my ultimate goals for next year that is literally on my to-do list has a little something to do with you and this podcast,
ooh,
which
well.
I would like to talk to you about nice. Off the microphones.
I'll take your answer off the air. Josh, how can people get a hold of you? At least until you get your new job.
JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com, and keep the emails coming. I'm getting some.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah. Larry.
I'm on Twitter @Larry_Morgan. Please follow, and I'll follow back.
I know Sam is at LA Times Farmer. On Twitter, and I'm Andy_Chanley. And a friend of mine said, love the podcast. You got to play the song at the beginning and the end, at least a few chords of everyone. I don't have my guitar with me, so let's just leave you with this little piece of butter. Bye-bye.
When
bye.
The people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast where your artificial friend.